know it, because I'm not that tech savvy. All right. I've learned all of this as we have been going through this. As we've gone through it, I've learned too much, and I forget about what all you have to do. Again, it's wonderful to see everybody out. It's always encouraging to be here, to come out and study God's Word. Hope that everybody is doing well. We know that many are not feeling well, many are dealing with lost ones. We love them all and want to keep them all in our prayers as they continue through this. It is good to be able to come together when we can, be here with those who are in good health and to be encouraged. Continue to fight that good fight as we have that opportunity to do so. This morning, I plan on talking about counting the cost, and as I have up there, I have a part one. I plan on trying to make a little bit of a series on the lessons on this, on counting the cost, making this more of an introduction into the series, and knowing that just everything we do today, there's a cost that ends up taking place. And as I was putting the lesson together, and I thought about it as I put the lesson together, meant to look it up, finally did try to look it up this morning. I don't know if this was the actual one. I think there was another one. I just remember something else when I was in high school that was taught, but I can't remember what it was. But, there's the saying of hand stapling. That is, there ain't no such thing as free lunch. They try to put an abbreviation into that, all the letters together. But I believe there was something else that my teacher actually used. I can't remember what it was. But I did find that on Google as I was trying to look it up. That everything has a cost. Everything, one way or another, whether it's cost you, cost somebody else, whether it's the reaction, and every action has a reaction. And that's the point I want to make this morning as we think about everything we do, every action we take, every decision we make. Have we considered the cost of that decision? Have we considered the reaction of what you're about to do, of what you choose not to do? And just understanding that we have to be ready to deal with the consequences, what happens when you do or do not. So, have you considered the cost? So, this morning, again, it's just the introduction in this lesson, and don't plan on spending a whole lot of time on it, but just making our minds on that point of counting the cost. Of course, we turn to Luke chapter 14 and read about that. Luke chapter 14, if you will, turn and open up your Bibles as we read through this. Luke 14, starting in verse 28. Luke 14 is starting in verse 28. Actually, go ahead and turn up to verse 25 with me. Get the introduction of this as why Jesus talked about it. Luke 14, starting verse 25. It says, "Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first? Consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." So Jesus, making the point here, he is bringing out, we have to willingly consider the cost of being a Christian. Consider the cost to become a child of God. What are you stating and you make that decision to come forward, to obey the gospel, to become a Christian, we have to count that cost. And there'll be a lesson that is focused on that as we get into the series of lessons that we can count the cost on. And so what I want to first focus on here is just the example that Jesus gives us here. There's two examples. Jesus brings out that there's a cost when we go forward and build things. We sit there and we ask the question, how much is it going to cost? How much is it going to cost to build this barn, to build a house, to buy a car, to do anything? We have to sit down and count the cost. But you get caught up, and you get a loan, and you start paying for this vehicle, you drive it for a few months, then you realize, I can't make this much payment. I can't do it. And the bank sends you a notice, bank sends you another notice. Eventually, you have to figure out how you're going to pay for this vehicle, whether or not you're going to sell this vehicle. Even if you sell a vehicle, will you get enough money to pay off your loan? And so you have to count the cost. Plus, you end up looking like someone everybody's going to start mocking, saying, well, this person didn't think it out. What were they thinking when they started this task? Didn't they consider whether or not they made enough money? Didn't they consider whether or not they would be able to pay for that? And here the example is that he went forth and he laid the foundation. I'm going to build this nice barn. I'm going to build this nice house. But after building the foundation, he realized he couldn't put the frame up. And he couldn't put the roof over that house. And he could not build the walls, and he cannot finish it. So everybody walked by seeing the unfinished frame of the house, the unfinished just laid at the foundation. And they start to mock that person for what he has done, because he did not count the cost. Same thing as we live from day to day, we have to consider the cost. We have to, you know, if you're making a trip and you're deciding, I'm going to go visit somewhere, well, how much is that going to cost you? How much time is that going to take away from you? Do you have the time to go away? Do you have the time to make it back? Do you understand that this is going to put miles on your vehicle? Is your vehicle going to last that long? Do you have enough money for the hotel? Do you have enough money for gas? Do you have enough money to get there and to get back, to pay for the food while you're gone? There's so much that you have to consider when you make decisions, counting the cost. He gives the example of warfare, as a king would sit there and as he has thousands of people coming in and coming against him, 100,000, and you only have 10,000. Is there any way that we'd be victorious in this battle, in this war that is about to take place? Understanding that I don't have as many as he does. Therefore, one man of mine would have to kill 10 of his to be victorious. You know, we sit there and count the cost. Figuring out, do we have, you know, a strategic plan maybe that we're able to figure this out? That we would be able to do such a thing? Or, while there's still time, you say, all right, before I send all my men to their death, let's see if there's a way that we can keep war from happening. Again, we have to try to apply this to our everyday lives and take this into consideration. That's what I plan on doing through the series of counting the cost, is looking at various different situations in which we make decisions today. We make decisions on whether or not what the reaction to our decisions are, what the reaction is going to be as we continue in this life upon this earth, as you choose whether to obey or to disobey God, whether you choose to get married or to stay single, whether you choose to live a sexual and moral life or to be faithful, whether you choose to lie or tell the truth, whether you choose to come to worship or stay at home, or whether you choose to go somewhere or not, or how you dress. There's so many things that we have to sit back and think, and too often we just don't think of the consequences of that. We don't think that it affects anyone else. So we have to be ready to count the cost, understanding that every action has a reaction. And that's my next point, is that every action has a reaction. We have to realize that. Everything we do, there is going to be something there that maybe you either did consider the cost or you haven't considered the cost. Turn along with me to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 16. Matthew 7, and reading here in verse 16, it says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." So often we want to get caught up quoting, "Judge not lest you be judged." I tell you, the world loves that verse. People love throwing out that saying, "Judge not lest you be judged. Don't judge me." We also understand that there is such a thing as a righteous judgment. And as we apply that with this scripture here, you are known by your fruits. Therefore, you're known by your choices. You're known by your actions, by your decisions, by the way you live your life. People look at you and believe that you go with this crowd, or you go with that crowd. And I understand, sometimes we get caught up and we make the wrong judgment. We don't see people in the right way always. But we understand, and people do the same thing to us, that if you're out in the world and you're swearing and cussing and lying, and you're not a hard worker and you're a slacker, you're a sloth, they sit back and listen to people like that and say, "There's a good Christian. He must go to church every single Sunday. He must be someone who leads in worship. I can tell because he's swearing all the time, because the way he dressed, because he's always lying." That's not what they're going to come to the judgment. That's not the conclusion that they're going to draw to by the fruits that you're producing, by the works that you're caught up in, the decisions that you make. When we are out in the world, people are watching. We go to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, where it tells it, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Again, here, it brings out that point that we are setting an example for the world. We are setting an example for one another. People are always watching. Your children are watching. Your grandchildren are watching. Your brothers and sisters are watching. Your parents are watching. People notice what you do. People notice what you say. And so therefore, it comes down to that, back to that last passage in Matthew 7, of when you get caught up in doing these things, and whether or not, are you shining the light that leads to Christ, or are you shining the light that leads people away? Are you salt that flavors and helps the thing, it tastes better and helps improve life? Leading people astray, chasing people away from the Lord. Because every action has a people see what you're doing. There's a cost to the decisions you make. There's a cost to the decisions I make. On what you teach on. On what you put as values and first in your life. There's a cost to it. Have you considered? Have you considered what people think? Too often we can get caught up saying, "Well, I don't care what people think. We're supposed to be the light of the world. Therefore, we should consider what other people think." Not to the point of neglecting the word, "Well, they don't like me because I taught the truth." Jesus says that's going to happen. We have to understand that that will happen. And if you are living a faithful life to God, you are teaching the truth, you are preaching the gospel, then the world will hate you. The world will mock. Blessed are those who are persecuted in the name of Christ. That is a cost you have to consider when choosing to obey God. And part of another lesson we'll get to. Do we sit down and consider the cost of these things? The decisions we make every day? Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12 and verse 30. It says, "He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Again, so much. Do we want to draw that line in the sand and say, I'm not on Satan's side, but I'm not also going to stand over here with Jesus and preach against abortion, or preach against homosexuality, or preach against transgenderism, or tell somebody that they need to tell the truth, that that little lie might hurt them. We want to straddle the fence and say, I'm not going to choose to preach against that, but also ain't going to okay it to the point of saying that they're good. I'm just going to sit right here and keep my thoughts to myself. Jesus says, either you're helping bringing people to the Lord, or you're help scattering them away. We are either with Him, or we're against Him. James chapter 4 and verse 4. James chapter 4 and verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Do we consider that? Do we think about that as we start to choose okaying the sins of this world? When we be friend of the world, it's not saying that we have friends that haven't obeyed the gospel. Again, Jesus makes it clear, in order to influence the world, to be a light in the world, we have to live in the world. If we separate ourselves from the world, we have nothing to do with it. We don't ever go out of our house except to worship. We never surround ourselves by other people. Then, we're not drawing anybody to the world because we're not out. We have to be willing to go out into the world. We have to be willing to shine our light. But if you surround yourself with, we just continue to be surrounded by it, and we're never around our brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, the consequences. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So we have to make decisions. And as we make decisions, we have to consider the consequences. We have to consider the cost of that decision, whether it is to obey God or to disobey. To do as we read in the Word of God, or to disobey the things we see through the Scriptures. A choice has to be made. We always make choices, whether we realize it or not, whether we dwell on it or not. Sometimes we don't consider it. We just do. Sometimes someone has to stand up and say, did you consider what was going to happen when you did that? The consequences of doing these things? Answer, yeah, I did. I thought it was worth the risk. I thought it was worthy to go ahead and do it anyways. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Turn along with me there. Read along with me, starting in verse 7. Galatians 6, starting in verse 7, says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows of the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting." In here, bring it out. Whatever you choose to do, whatever you sow, whatever fruit you produce, what you will reap, what you will be rewarded with, or what you will be condemned. Again, it comes down to your decision. When we make decisions, we have to consider the cost. You have to figure out whether or not this is the right decision for you. And within making that right decision, whether or not that's with the will of God, within that, whether or not it's going to help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ, whether this is going to lead people to the Lord or push people away from the Lord, there's things to consider. Brings out here to talk about everlasting life or corruption. Them are the things we have to consider, truly consider, when we're making decisions. Sometimes we think it's just so simple or so little, it doesn't make a difference, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But that's the ultimate cause that we're asking. We're ultimately asking whether or not it's okay to go to heaven or to go to hell. Whether or not this is where I want to go, or this is where I want to go. Because as we live our lives, we are to be following in the footsteps of Christ, which lead to heaven. But if we don't follow in His footsteps, we get caught up in the ways of this world, we get caught up in the ways of Satan. And we live a life that leads to heaven. When we truly think about that, it's the cost. What does it cost to get to heaven? What are you willing to exchange for your soul? You can gain the whole world. You can gain anything in this world. Would it be worth it? That's what you have to ask yourself. You have to ask, would it be worth it? Would it be worth going to hell over sexual immorality? Be able to get away with whatever you've done up on this earth so you tell a lie. Would it be worth going to hell just to gain so much extra money so that you can add that addition to your house, get that one certain deal? Would it be worth it? Or is it worth going to heaven and making the sacrifice and saying, I really would like to have that, but I'm not going to because I know the cost. Decisions we have to make. Again, I hope that this introduction of a series of lessons, as we look at those points a little further and further lessons, we truly do consider the cost from day to day. Consider whether or not this is going to help yourself and others get ahead, or this is going to go against them. We want to extend the Lord's invitation, extend the opportunity to obey the gospel. If you understand the cost to get to heaven, or you understand the consequences of not being baptized and having your sins washed away, you're ready to do what needs to be done. You're ready to take that step, to make that confession, to repent of your sins, to do what God has asked of you so that you can receive His grace, so that you can receive forgiveness of sins. We want to encourage you to do that. We want to assist you in doing that. If you're here and you need the prayers of congregation, if there's anything we can do, let it be known.